All right, everybody. Episode 48. We're back. We're getting closer to 50. I know we teased it last time, but we got to figure out what we're doing for the big 5-0. So, but we're not there yet. We're not there yet.
I have a few ideas, but I won't reveal them now.
All right. That's a nice...
It'll be a surprise.
Yeah, that's a nice tease for a couple episodes from now. All right, 48. Wanted to shift gears for a minute here and talk about something, a little bit of a change here. The concept of building something from nothing, right? We do a lot of advertising, branding, design. That's what we do, right? We work with a lot of startups historically over the last 15 years or so, like incubated little medical device companies out of Georgia Tech or wherever the case may be, right? Or just clients that have crazy ideas come to us and it's like, hey, I need a little bit of everything, right? I need the logo. I need the, I might even need the name, right? Here's this idea. What do we name this thing? What do we call this thing? How do we design this thing? What does it look like? What does it feel like? How do we approach people with it? What's the strategy? I mean, you know, they just need a little bit of everything, right? Love working with those types of companies. And I want to say about 10 years or so ago.
It was 2010.
So a little bit more than 10 years or so ago. I draw pictures for a living. We took the plunge and built something for nothing on our own, right?
Yeah, sure.
I don't even know how to begin to tell this story.
I was going to say out of thin air, but it wasn't out of thin air. It was out of lake water.
Correct.
How about that?
Correct.
So the story kind of goes like this. The idea, how do I even tell the story?
Well.
So the another fellow that we ended up partnering up with in the business sort of came up with this idea of floating around at the lake.
Yeah.
Maybe a few beers and whatever else, and came up with this sort of idea to create a flotation device, a recreational flotation device that would somehow balance you sitting up so you could enjoy your beverage kind of sitting up and floating in a way.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, I mean, there is the, if you're a lake person or a boat person, there is that common convention, right? Let's call it what it is, of flipping your life jacket upside down, putting your legs through the arms in the life jacket, right? And kind of hanging out in the water, right? I mean, that's kind of been a thing that people have done for a number of years, right? And the idea, the convention wasn't the idea, but the idea was kind of, why has no one really built this actual product, right? Because it does, and life jackets are expensive. It kind of destroys the structural integrity of a life jacket, shoving your legs through where they're not supposed to go, right? And there are noodles, there's other floaty devices, there's all sorts of things, right? But why has no one really designed a comfortable way to kind of sit in the water,
right?
And sit there and drink a bevy or 12 or whatever the case may be, right? So
the idea came up one night drinking a bunch of beers. And then the next morning it was like, oh my gosh, I think, did we just decide to start a company and build a thing?
Yeah.
And the answer was a slightly hungover, I think so.
Yeah.
So that set us on a journey to figure out how in the world to bring this thing to life, to manufacture something and to build. And we had zero experience doing that.
Correct.
There was three of us involved.
Yes.
Three partners involved. And none of us had any manufacturing experience, distribution experience, nothing like that. Product design experience, none of that. So we got to work and we started sort of sketching up ideas and kind of starting to think about it and did the research and found a product designer out of Asheville, North Carolina.
Correct. Yes.
And started to work with him to begin to prototype this, you know, redesign of an upside down life jacket.
Yeah. Now he had worked in the flotation. He worked in life jackets.
Yeah.
Right?
He worked in life jackets. Yeah. Exactly. He did shoes. He did shoes and life jackets.
Yeah. Now before we go into too far about everything moving forward, what was the most exciting part of for you, Rob, at the beginning of this journey? Like, what was like, oh yeah, like let's do this. I mean, because you just went through. Hey, we kind of didn't know what we didn't know, right?
Yeah, I mean, so like, I think for me, it was the challenge of trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
Like, could we actually do it?
Correct.
And then, you know, we like learn by doing and learn by messing up and learn by figuring it out and sort of those challenges. So I think it was that. I think it was just the idea of like, can we actually do this?
Yeah.
Can we figure it out?
Yeah. For me, it was the same thing. I mean, a lot of times, as I mentioned in at the beginning of this episode, like we help companies and individuals and whatever with only one part of the process, right? And we're not really involved in procurement or material design or manufacturing, brokering, you know, offshore relations, all that. You know, we sort of stick in the creative lane, right? So I think for me, it was super exciting to go, hey, let's jump on the other side of the fence and kind of be our own client and do what clients do every single day and learn that whole other side of the business that we don't necessarily touch day to day in our day job, you know, the advertising side of life, right?
Right. So yeah, before we got even to any of the design communication stuff, it was all just product design.
Absolutely.
Right. Manufacturing. And, and what do we do? So we fast forward, we came up with a design. We had all the prototypes made. There's a funny story about going and testing out the prototypes.
Up in Asheville?
Up in Asheville.
With, I mean, what's the funny story you're going to
say? Well, it was this, we were in this guy's, he was a friend of the family.
Yeah.
He had this sort of little, I don't want to say compound, it was this property up in Asheville, and he had a pond in the back.
Yeah.
And that was our testing pond.
Absolutely.
Right? So we would test in the pond. Well, at one point there was a snake.
Yeah. You remember what kind of snake it was?
Was it a copperhead?
It was a copperhead.
It was a copperhead running around. And this guy, and mind you, I think we had all done a shot of, of what you call it?
Moonshine.
Shot of moonshine.
Yeah. It was, hey, great to meet you. Drink this.
Yeah, we were going to go up for the day and float around and test the thing out. And it was nice to meet you. Have a splash of moonshine. So we did. And then all of a sudden, this copperhead shows up out of nowhere. And the guy who owned the property comes running down with a gun.
Yeah,
with
he had a rifle. He had a big old, like, shotgun-y rifle thing.
Yeah, and just blew it to smithereens.
Absolutely.
Smithereens.
I didn't know what was going on.
It was, and then it was kind of one of those, in hindsight, it was kind of one of those. What in the world did we just do? We have a few of those moments, and maybe that's a good another topic too. Is kind of what in the world moments? How did we get here moments? But that was one of them. And so we tested the prototypes, killed the snake, drank some moonshine all in a day, and came up with the final design.
Yeah, exactly. We hired the designer, and he had designed all sorts of stuff. But he also was very familiar with the materials, of which we were. You know, we learned more about closed cell PE and open cell foam, all these different types of flotational foam and all that sort of stuff, right?
Yeah.
Fascinating stuff, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so we designed a bunch of different things, you know, sort of who actually sewed all that stuff up? Because, I mean, we were sewing stuff here down in Atlanta. There was do you recall who did he do all that? At the
you
beginning?
Mean the prototypes?
Yeah, the very first prototype.
I think he did all the
prototypes.
I think he did all the prototypes. But then so we landed on the final design, and then we were going to manufacture in the U.S. Correct. Remember that?
Yeah, yeah.
It was super expensive.
Well, we hired a broker, did we not?
Yeah, we hired a broker.
We hired a broker to determine should we manufacture in the U.S., overseas in the Far East, right? Or should we try to stay Southern Hemisphere but stay in our time zone? So South America, basically, right?
Yeah.
And from what I recall, correct me if I'm wrong here, the U.S. manufacturing at the time, unbelievably expensive.
Way too
expensive. Because of labor and materials, right? Because the materials had to be shipped, obviously, from China, right, over here. And so it was kind of a double cost of materials, right? South America was the cheapest in regards to, I believe, labor. However, there was no, you had to ship the materials there as well. It was the same problem we had in the U.S., right? There was no, we wanted the Cadillac at the beginning. We wanted that closed cell PE foam, right? So that was all had to be shipped, right? So it was like, man, it just made sense to manufacture in China.
And it came down to the numbers. And
yeah,
we couldn't,
absolutely.
At the price point that we figured we had to sell it or could sell it, there was no way to build in a margin to have it make any sense.
Absolutely.
So we did that. We figured out our manufacturing over there. I remember we got the first batch sent here to Atlanta.
DHL.
Yeah.
Remember
and
that?
The truck shows up. And I
Wait. Are you talking about the full truck?
I'm talking about the full truck.
Oh, you're going all the way to the full truck.
I'm going to the full truck. Full truck shows up, and you have never seen so many boxes life.
Yeah. I mean, it was a 40-foot shipping container.
Yeah, it was a full container.
Yeah. People see that on the back of like trains and stuff or semis or whatever. It was a full
And
semi.
That was the container that was messed up.
It was messed up. It was messed up.
So we had a
But Rob, we've already jumped. We jumped past the like.
Well, I'm trying to be conscientious.
When did we name this thing and the identity?
Okay,
we haven't even done that, right?
Go ahead.
Well, I don't even remember where the name came from because I'm a horrible storyteller.
The name actually came from there was a fourth partner at the very beginning, and he came up with the name.
Really?
Yep.
Okay. All right. All right.
Names have been changed
to protect
we'll call
the innocent.
Bob.
Yeah. So the name of the product is Bum Float.
Right.
Right. We named it the Bum Float.
Right.
Right. Floating around in your bum, obviously.
Yep.
We had a fantastic designer at the time, Kenny, right, who helped us with the logo.
That's right.
Right. So we designed this fun little otter. It was kind of holding a beer can or holding a nebulous can, right, floating around in the water. Everybody can go to bumfloat.com. I'm sure it's still up, you know. And so we named the product, helped design sort of what the product looked like.
Right.
And then obviously did all of the launch materials, the initial website 1.0, you know, hang tags. Even the hang tags. I mean, there was merchandising, all sorts of different things, yeah, right?
T-shirts, so, hats, all
so
stuff.
By the time that 40-foot truck or that container came, obviously it was already, the product was manufactured. I mean, it was made, you know, we had the name on the product, you know, we had the tags, all the different things, right? So yeah, how much, I mean, we ordered, what, were there 5,000 of those things?
That might be right.
Yeah, something I like mean, that, right?
It was a lot. It was yeah. a lot of them. So they show, the product shows up and.
No, it's a crazy day, man.
And it was, they weren't, we didn't have quality control over in China as we should have. Again, this is sort of lesson learned
Absolutely.
As you go.
Absolutely.
And we didn't have the right QC in place. Yeah. So they get over here and, oop, they're not quite right.
Yeah.
Like the sewing is not right.
Correct.
So we
yeah.
had to find a place here. And then as we sold them, we would just run through.
Yeah.
This sewing facility
yeah.
and drop them off
yeah.
and go pick them up.
Absolutely.
It was a total pain. But again, leverage learnings.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they started to sell.
Yeah.
Crazy. They started to sell.
It was cool.
And I remember that was super cool. Just that feeling of like, wow, here's the thing.
Yeah.
We made a thing.
Yeah. We literally
it
made
was an
something
idea,
out of
and then
nothing.
We made a widget.
Well,
actual thing.
Yeah, the idea came, then we actually designed it, right? Then we, I mean, we skipped over the legal aspect, but obviously we did all the lawyering.
Lawyers, no one wants to hear
lawyers
about the
got a lawyer.
Part of it.
No, but then there was design patents and there was different things that were done. I mean, like a real company, Rob.
Yeah.
And then, you know, hey, there was naming, then there was all of the, outside of the industrial design of the product itself, then there's all the manufacturing and then shipping and, you know, insurance and I mean like really all the crazy other side of the business that our clients do that we don't really play in that sandbox very often, right? And then they came here and then yeah, boom, things. I mean, we're selling on Amazon, we're selling on our own website, and I think some of the most fun we had actually was we got ourselves a trade show booth, just like clients do.
We made the booth. Yeah,
we made a booth. Right. Oh God, with all that pressure treated lumber. Remember that? I mean, my word. So
again,
we made a booth
learning.
And then, all three of us and our wives and kids and everything, we worked the Atlanta Boat Show.
Right.
Right. And
which is one of the largest boat shows in the
yeah.
country for people who don't know.
I mean, that was nuts. I mean, we're taking credit cards, we're taking cash, we're running shifts, we're doing things, all of this on the weekend. Right. Or maybe it was like a Thursday, Friday. So, I mean, it was multi-day.
It was Friday, Saturday, yeah. Sunday.
Yeah. And then I know that there were other trade shows. I primarily just stuck with the Atlanta one. I know you traveled up to Nashville,
yeah,
maybe Clemson or something. There were all sorts of other festivals.
Clemson's a big one.
Yeah.
So we started hitting that circuit and we found that we would, we would sell it. The boat show was crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, you couldn't,
that was fun.
You couldn't hold on to them. You'd sell a ton of them.
Yeah. Then we ended up hiring people to work at the boat shows.
Yeah.
I mean, it was nuts, dude.
So that went on for years and years and years.
Yeah.
And then I think we were in Walmart, maybe online,
yeah.
just online retailers. It was all online retail.
Yes, correct.
We never really crossed the bridge into physical retail.
Yeah. A few marinas here and there.
A few small mom and pop marinas, but never any of the big.
Yeah. Not in Costco or any of that kind of stuff. So mostly boat shows, you know?
Boat shows was the driver because,
those
were the best margins we could get. Amazon, God bless them.
Yeah.
They help you with the volume. But
yeah,
it was a really cool experience. And then I think, you know, a few years back, we sold out of it. We kind of sold our portion of the company.
Yeah.
And kind of got out of it. For a long time, we ran all the marketing for it and the site and did all the kind of things.
Yeah.
We've since relinquished that.
Yeah.
But it was a really cool experience. It was one of those things that I think I'll always look back on and go, wow, remember that time where we made a thing?
Yeah.
Like an actual thing?
Yeah. It was pretty nuts.
And I think it helps too. Now to understand when we talk to clients what it's like and kind of have a better perspective on manufacturing
Absolutely.
And distribution and on a much smaller scale, of course.
Yeah.
But all of those things, it's great, I think, just sort of knowledge to have kind of in the arsenal.
Well, I think having gone through it ourselves and really understanding, wow, lead times and, you know, 90 days on the water from another country and, you know, all that sort of stuff, right? When we consult or when we powwow with a startup, right? That's a team of engineers that created this awesome thing, right? It's, oh, well, hey, you guys need to, you know, we do have that knowledge to be able to say, hey, you guys, I know it seems like it's, you know, 18 months away, but you really need to start focusing on this, that, and whatever, you know, having gone through that experience ourselves, you know, it sneaks up on you before you realize it would sneak up on you, right? And sometimes that feedback is appreciated.
I think that, and I've said this always, in almost everything, this applies, in my opinion, to our business and what we do. It certainly applies to the Bumfloat story.
Yeah.
The ideas are the easy part.
Yeah.
Ideas are easy.
Yeah.
We can crank those out all day long.
Absolutely.
It's the actual bringing that to life.
Yes.
And that's, to me, is...
That's the hard part, right?
Is true in everything. I mean,
yeah,
I can come up with an idea for a musical. Putting together a musical is the work.
We do know the guy that writes musicals, though.
Yeah, we absolutely do.
Shout out
to Haddon Kime.
Yeah, absolutely. So funny you should pick on that. No, it's the doing is the hardest part. I think that's why they say write it down, right? I mean, not talking about product invention, but it's dreams are just that until you write it down and it becomes an action step.
Yep.
Right. I'm kind of bastardizing some quote or whatever,
but it's true. It's true. Yeah. Hey, we forgot to mention the product is awesome.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Totally. Totally.
We have several of them. We keep them. We use them. They're great. The kids love them. It's a great product.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And we, went through the version 1, version 2, version 3. I mean, just like all normal products do, went through that process. So we did our decade, and then sold to our third partner and are comfortably out of the business now. But I do echo what you said in that great experience, great leverage learnings that we can pass along to existing clients, potential clients, and a fun thing to do,
So, super fun.
Yeah.
Great project. Anyway, that's the story of Bumfloat. And absolutely, they're still around. You can go buy them now. It's great.
Yeah, for sure.
On Amazon or go to bumfloat.com. You can check them out. And I think that's the Bumfloat story.
Yep. All right. Where can the people find us, Mr. Rob?
The people can find us at mocktheagency.com, on the interwebs, of course, and then on the socials at mocktheagency. And drop us a line. Drop us a note. Give us topics, feedback, love, appreciation, all good things.
5-star reviews, all the way.
We love them.
All right. Thanks, everybody.
All right. Talk to you next time.